Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, and let's take a little deeper dive into that Cuomo budget proposal that Richard was just talking about. Just 1.6% more state spending than last year. Pretty good. Money for longer school days and longer school years, plus all-day pre-K in some places. No new taxes, but a few other kinds of revenue sources, like I mentioned before the news, like an $80 state surcharge for some of your traffic violations. We'll get into that. Plus a minimum wage hike and ways to spend the Sandy relief about to come from Washington and more. Let's see what some of this means with Casey Seiler, Capitol Bureau Chief for the Albany Times Union. Casey, welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for doing this.
Brian, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the Cuomo budget, 212-433-9692. I think to set the stage here, we see from the numbers how the state is recovering from the financial crisis. 2 years ago, Cuomo faced a $10 billion state deficit to close when tax revenues were crashing with the economy. Last year, it was a few billion. This year, it's just 1.3. Does that mean tax revenues and the economy are recovering nicely, or more that the government is downsized to deal with a long-term shrinkage in the tax base?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, this budget finds a little bit less than $1 billion in savings. Half of those from cuts to local assistance, or rather controls in the growth of local assistance, and half of it from, as the governor would put it, right-sizing of various agencies. It's really a matter of both, and I think the controller would probably agree. Now, with that in mind, there are still large systemic problems that the state is facing that people are even now arguing about whether or not it addresses sufficiently.
Right. So, for example, on state or public worker pensions, I read that the budget allows localities to save next year on public worker pension money by borrowing to meet some of next year's costs and paying more down the road through those interest payments. Now, when I read things like that, I think, uh-oh, more debt to postpone the inevitable. Why is he doing that?
Yeah, this is a reaction to the criticism or concern that the governor got after the State of the State address that many felt didn't include enough in the way of help to localities that in many cases are drowning due to high pension contribution costs. Of course, the state pension fund picks up the lion's share, but if there's a gap between what the fund is making and what is required, localities have to make that up. Now, last year, of course, one of the big agenda items for the governor was passage of a less generous pension tier. But, of course, the savings from those are going to be found when new employees end up retiring. So you're looking at decades down the road in mm-hmm. some cases. This, what is described as a pension smoothing plan, would allow localities to essentially lock in a rate, almost like a mortgage, so that they would be paying less than the very high rates they are currently paying to make up that deficit in pension costs. But of course, in fat years, such as the 1990s, when localities were paying very, very little to make up that margin, they could face higher rates than they would like to be paying if hopefully things turn around. The controller's office, in his statement in response to the budget, was generally complimentary, but said that his office had only just been apprised of this plan, and that they were going to have to take a very hard look at it. The concern was expressed as well by CSEA, which is the state's largest public interest union, is that it could pitch the funding of public pensions into doubt, that they could end up not being fully funded. CSEA, in its own statement, which was very strong, described it as a bait-and-switch scheme,
so,
and said that they were appalled.
So do I understand you correctly to say this is kind of like a mortgage refi with an adjustable rate loan so that they get a lower rate right now because rates are so low by borrowing to pay next year's pension costs. But this could come back up and bite them in the future when interest rates go up.
It's kind of the reverse of a balloon payment. Instead of paying the very, very high variable rate you've got now, you'd be locking in a rate. And whether that's high or low is something of a gamble depending upon what happens in, as we say up here, the out years, which is a fancy way of saying the future.
All right. So there aren't new taxes in the budget per se, but one revenue raiser is that $80 state surcharge on some lower-tier traffic violations. So a ticket you get in Queens or White Plains will have an extra $80 tacked on for the state?
Correct. Yeah. People, if people are familiar with this, they quite often can plead down a moving violation to something less. And the governor's argument is that this regular practice ends up costing, as the budget message gives it, about $58 million a year. So the idea for the $80 surcharge is for non-moving violations to which speeding tickets are usually reduced, you're not going to be able to get out of paying that anymore. Which for people who get these tickets often, it could end up being a big tap. It could also end up being a big tap in terms of points on your license as well. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of discussion about that as this proposal is negotiated in the legislature.
When you say non-moving violations, does that mean this $80 surcharge might also be tacked on to parking tickets?
I don't think so. I think it is just the I'm sorry, that you're correct that it could be tacked on to some parking tickets. I believe so.
So you could have a $50 parking ticket with an $80 state surcharge.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Motorists, beware.
Beware, especially in New York City. It's probably less of a problem in upstate municipalities where parking is a little bit more plentiful.
Nick in Putnam County is calling about this, one of those upstate counties. Hi, Nick.
Yeah, hi. Ouch. The judge told me last night, and I quote, I'm assessing an $85 state surcharge for your speeding violation. And that was in addition to the $75 local Havistraw court fine. So it was a total of $160. And I was only doing 5 miles an hour. I don't get it.
5 miles over the speed limit?
No.
No, only five. That's right. Officer, there must be something wrong with your radar gun.
Exactly.
Nick, thank you for your call. So that's an example, Casey, to be clear, of how that surcharge is already in effect for some moving violations, including speeding, and now it will also be in effect for things that are lower down from that, right?
Right, and the fiscal year, we're still 2.5 months away from it, too. So,
another revenue raiser, New York companies would have to start paying taxes on income from royalties. What does that mean, on royalties? Who's that targeted at?
You're going to have to forgive me there because I'm not familiar with that one yet, perhaps because it is a New York City provision.
Yeah, and I'll have to look into that further. I think of royalties as going to the artist when the company takes the other part that's not considered the royalty, so I'll have to check what that actually means. The recovery from Sandy begins in earnest in this budget, which assumes the money coming from Congress. And I'm curious if that federal aid covers it all, or are there more Sandy recovery expenses that will have to come out of New Yorkers' own tax bills?
That's still being worked out, I think. What we have been told is that I think in the news you noted that it's a little bit more than a $136 billion plan, but it's actually about $142 billion and change. But the governor's office is quick to note that $6 billion difference is Sandy aid and money that goes to fund the beginning of the Affordable Health Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. So that you noted the less than 2% growth, that is if you're going by the 136.5 number as opposed to the 142. It would be more than 2% if you factored that out. But there's in the budget, you've got $21 billion for disaster-related recovery, rebuilding and mitigation, as they put it. And that's everything from recreate New York smart home and home buyout programs that would allow people to get out of the way of or to get out of bad weather areas, which could be coastal areas downstate or floodplain upstate, which in many communities were hit very hard by Irene and Lee just a year before Hurricane Sandy. Mm-hmm. There is money for those communities, areas that were hit by all three of those storms as well. There's also planning for future storms, including the pre-positioning of stockpiles of equipment and provisions for the next storm, which is something that I think the state or many states found that they were kind of caught short on.
Casey Seiler, my guest on WNYC, the Capitol Bureau Chief and columnist for the Albany Times-Union, as we talk about details in Governor Cuomo's budget proposal, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. If you have a question or comment or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show. Now, on how the state will spend all this Sandy money that they're getting from Washington, the governor was promising a lot of flexibility for the localities affected. Listen to this clip.
We can't sit here in Albany and tell Oceanside what they need to do. And we can't sit here and tell the Rockaways exactly what they need to do. We'll do the big mainstays, but they know what to do about their main street.
So what does that mean? What are the mainstays that the state is going to do directly? And are they going to set up some kind of competitive bidding process where Oceanside and the Rockaways might have to say, oh, look, we need this pot of money more than the other guy? Or how's that going to work?
I'm not sure if you're going to see competitive bidding. That, of course, would open up a lot of the the awarding of Sandy aid to political concerns. And of course, Long Island, which is very Republican heavy, is has already called out for what it needs. But it's clear that a lot of the money is going to go to big infrastructure projects. We're already talking about something that would the kind of big engineering projects that would prevent the kind of damage you saw from storm surge. And also one thing that's interesting is we've already seen the use of what's known as design build. That's kind of a streamlining policy that allows big infrastructure projects to cut costs. This budget would allow for the use of design build on any mitigation or large engineering project in the storm-affected areas.
I want to get to the education portion of the budget because it's really interesting. Education spending would go up 4.4%, so that's fairly substantial in an otherwise restrained amount of local budget increase. And some of this, as I read it, would be for low-income districts to apply for money for full-day pre-K or to expand their general school days or school years by 25%. Do you know how this would work?
Yeah, this was one of the more interesting things to come out of the State of the State address, this idea of expanding learning time by 25% or more. So there are pots of money set aside. You've already seen education groups say that the money is not going to be enough, but it is a start. $25 million for full-day pre-K, and that would be targeted to higher-need districts and higher-need lower-wealth districts. And then $20 million to support this extension of the learning day by 25% or more. And, of course, they'd have to demonstrate that those are educationally worthy. Another interesting education provision is money to create so-called community schools, which would not only be education centers but would offer social services to families, such as perhaps medical assistance. And then there's $11 million that would go to $15,000 per year stipends of up to 4 years for kind of very high-performing teachers, and initially at least that's going to be targeted to math and science teachers. These would be kind of professional mentors, the real kind of best of the best.
Hmm. And another incentive, I guess, to get people into math and science teaching at all, because we have a shortage.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that, and there's that kind of attempt to kind of steer people into these areas on the higher education level as well. There is money set aside, there is grant money set aside, and there is a requirement that any community college that accepts state money will have to work sort of on a regional basis with one of the 10 regional economic development councils that the governor has set up to target their programs in large part towards filling high need careers and positions. So that could mean, depending upon what region of the state you live in, that could be a nursing program, that could be nanotech, that could be working on green battery technology, that kind of thing.
And here's a teacher calling in, Mark in Mayo Pack. You're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, I'm a public school teacher in the Yonkers, New York system. Mm-hmm. It's one of the five big city systems. And, when I hear reports about the governor asking for a longer school day and a longer school year, I'd laugh if I weren't crying, because we here in this system, for instance, we have one guidance counselor for 1,700 students. We have one psychologist for about 2,000 students. So I don't understand the governor's approach to asking for more when his very policies are starving the schools as they exist now.
The argument might be something like, research shows that longer school days or longer school years are fundamental to improving outcomes for low-income kids, more than adding more guidance counselors or school psychologists. What would you say to that argument?
I would say that it's ludicrous. I would say that before you try to expand the school day, I think that you need to staff the school day that you have. Class sizes are bursting at the seams. There are no more electives. There's no more shop. There's no more health. There's no more music or art. We have 30 music teachers and 30 art teachers for 27,000 kids. Now, if you expand the school day, it sounds great, and I actually believe that a longer school day in certain circumstances would be helpful. But I think that between the property tax cap that the governor has pushed and the mandate relief that never came, I don't see it being anything more than a political stunt.
Mark, thank you very much. Well, Casey Seiler from the Albany Times Union, do you think Mark is representative of a debate that's now going to take place over that proposal?
Yeah, very much so. And teachers and the governor have had, I think it's fair to say, something of a fraught relationship. The governor, in his budget presentation yesterday, did not miss the opportunity to note that New York spends a great deal more per student, I think it's $18,000, if memory serves, than any other state. And as he would describe it, does not get that kind of performance back on its investment. He included kind of sharp language that I think accurately was seen by many as a shot at teachers' unions. He said that we're not here to fund bureaucracies, we're here to provide services. And that, of course, can be seen as going to everything state government does, but he's had especially kind of sharp rhetoric for teachers and for school administrators as well in many school districts. So
all right.
teachers are not going to be happy.
We are just about out of time. The politics of this budget, one of Cuomo's successes has been getting on-time budgets, that is, before the April 1st start of the new fiscal year, which had eluded governors before him for, I think, more than 25 years. Will he get it again? Is this going to be a consensus proposal or one that's going to make the legislature blow up?
No, I think he'll get it. There isn't anything really that this is not It's not a transformational budget. The governor described it ahead of time as something that contains no surprises, and I think with the exception of pension smoothing and a couple of other rather minor things, there are no major changes here. And you have to remember that the legislature that we have currently is much more likely to support the governor. Democrats have made inroads in the Senate. As you well know, the Republicans no longer control it single-handedly. They depend upon the coalition they've formed with five members of the Independent Democratic Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, the governor has the power, after the April 1st deadline, to put his entire budget proposal in the first or really any of the periodic budget extenders that are required to keep state government beyond kind of basic services going. And the governor has in the past said, if I don't have an on-time budget, the first budget extender you get is going to be my entire budget plan, and you can shut down state government, once again, except for basic services, or you can take it, but I'm essentially going to hand it to you on a platter.
By the way,
that really puts it on the legislature.
We've got 11 degrees down here in the city today. What is it in Albany?
When I got out of my car, it was 8 degrees, so my son will not be walking home from school today.
Not that big a difference, as I remember from my days living in Albany. Just a 3 degrees difference, but that's how cold it is. So we thank Casey Seiler, Capital Bureau Chief and Columnist for the Albany Times Union, for digging into some of the Cuomo budget proposal for us. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Stay warm.
We will have Robert Megna, the governor's budget director, on in one of the coming days. He was supposed to be on today, but he got called away to some meetings that he couldn't avoid. So we went through some of this with Casey Seiler today. Nice job by him. And we will talk to the budget director directly probably tomorrow or Friday. Now, on this question of how cold is it, we've got that question going on our Facebook page. If you want to reply and answer how cold is it, go to facebook.com/BrianLaird WNYC. Coming up next, why some suicide bombers may have committed suicide anyway, and the psychological profile that connects political terrorists and American rampage shooters like at schools and movie theaters. Stay with us.